Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Everybody doing well?
Yes.
Look good today? Ready for an exciting day?
Yes.
Ready for an exciting day?
Yes.
Of strategic planning with E.F. Hutton. Do you know who E.F. Hutton is? Ever heard E.F. Hutton? There's a TV commercial played for years in the States about E.F. Hutton. The line was, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. That's why I have deemed Alex Castillo as the E.F. Hutton of the Philippines. When he speaks, everybody listens. Let's give a great big hand. Come on down.
Thanks, Paul. When I speak, people fall asleep. You have no idea what you got yourself into this morning. 70% of this morning will be workshop. 30% will be me giving you some input. The objective of today is to help you gain some mastery over strategic thinking. Okay? So this morning, the session is entitled Three Ways to Develop a Strategic Mindset. And I can't believe I'm trying to do this in 3 hours. But hey, nothing is impossible with God. So the first way is to be aware of the strategic context, okay? Be aware of the strategic context. Did this group go through the GM mindset?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
In the GM mindset, this is foundational to the GM mindset. Or if you want, this will take you a bit higher than the GM mindset. The GM looks at his organization and takes a helicopter view so that he can see how each part correlates with the other. Okay? That's a general manager. The strategist does not go on a helicopter. The strategist goes on a satellite, much higher, so that the strategist will view the organization in relation to its environment. Okay? So a GM looks the organization and sees how each part relates with the other part within the same organization. A strategist, that's taking a helicopter. A strategist actually goes on a satellite. A satellite view of the business or the organization as the organization relates to its environment. Okay? Environment. Okay, so three ways to develop a strategic mindset. Be aware of the strategic context. And I'm glad you guys are taking notes, because a lot of what I'm going to say is not in the hard copy. And as just to remind you, research shows that 7 days from today, you will forget 92% of everything you've heard. So if there's anything you want to remember, write it down. Okay? All right, so be aware of the strategic context. You cannot strategize in a vacuum. Okay? Strategy is predicated by context. Everyone says predicated by context. If you've been watching the impeachment trial, the Senator Enrile would say, lay the predicate, okay? Lay the basis for your argument. Okay? So you can't strategize in a vacuum. Vacuum demands a context. Okay? And strategy is predicated by context. And the context is twofold: external analysis and internal analysis. That is why the internal analysis, that's the GM part. Okay, you look at the business from within. The external analysis is the strategic part. You take a satellite view. You're not only looking at your business within itself, you're looking at your business in relation to things outside of it. Okay. External analysis. Let's start with external analysis. Analysis of the ministry's external environment. This is straight out of my executive experience. I just removed company and replaced it with ministry, okay? So analysis of the company's external environment. That's what we did in Del Monte. But here, I'm saying analysis of the ministry's external environment. What are you supposed to analyze? Well, you need to identify the big picture factors in the external environment that impact your church or ministry. The question is, what are the big picture factors in the external environment of victory? Del Monte, for example, give you an example. I brought my old strategic planning book here. Big picture external environment, economic environment. Will the economy in the Philippines be favorable to the business of Del Monte or not? Political environment. Will the political structure, the political happenings in the country, will they be favorable to the business of Del Monte or not? And when you analyze the external factors, you look, you give it a five-year time frame. In the next 5 years, will the economic situation in the Philippines be favorable to Del Monte or not? Will the political environment be favorable to Del Monte or not? What about the regulatory environment, the food rules and regulations? What about the supply and demand situation, the supply of tomatoes and pineapples, et cetera, et cetera? Now, your problem is to convert that into victory's environment, okay? And we're going to have fun later. Namely, I'm going to have fun watching you agonize, figuring out what are the external big picture factors in victory's environment, okay? You estimate how these factors will impact your church or ministry favorably or unfavorably in the next 5 years. If you want to be strategic, you can't think of 1 year because there could be a blip. You take 5 years so it averages out the ups and downs, all right? And then identify the implied strategic actions the ministry needs to take in light of its external environment. Lou Gerstner, a favorite CEO of mine, used to be a CEO of IBM, said, "Always put more emphasis on looking outside in than inside out. Otherwise, you could miss what the market or customer is looking for." I want everyone to read this slide. Ready? "Always put more emphasis on looking outside in than inside out. Otherwise, you could miss what the market or customer is looking for." Okay? Too many institutions, too many business people are inward looking. Our strengths, our product, our name, our what have you. And so they miss out what's going on outside. I mean, Xerox invented the personal computer. But they were so inward looking, they did not see the potential of the PC. Okay? Microsoft did not see the potential of cloud computing. Are you familiar with cloud computing? Okay? All of the software is in the cloud. You don't have to buy a software. You can rent it. And Microsoft missed that because they were so focused on their operating system, our products, our success, our greatness, you see. And so the strategist looks at the external environment to make sure he or she positions his business, his organization, in light of what's happening outside. Peter Drucker said, "The effective executive, the only contribution you make that is relevant is outside of your office." I mean, you can write 10 memos a day, or you could do whatever you want a day in the office. As long as it does not impact your market outside, you are not an effective executive. So they're talking about the same thing. So as a guideline, an institution must change based on indications coming from its external environment, an outside-in focus. An inside-out focus can make your institution irrelevant. You will miss the big shifts. IBM missed the big shift. For example, they got stuck with the mainframe. And then they got stuck with hardware per se. They missed the big shift to software. But when they figured it out, they came out very well. But initially, they missed the big shifts. So that is what we're talking about here. So that's the external analysis. Internal analysis, this you're familiar already. Analysis of the ministry's historical performance and SWOT, the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. In internal analysis, you evaluate the performance of your ministry in relation to your mission, vision, and long-term goals in the past 5 years or longer. The question you ask is, how have we done? Did we do well? Were we average? Or did we do badly? And what are the underlying reasons for this performance? Okay, this is internal analysis. And then you analyze the SWOT of your ministry. What are our strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats anyway? Why are we performing this way? What is our SWOT, or what are our SWOTs? And then you identify the top 5 to 10 strategic issues you need to address in light of the ministry's historical performance and its SWOTs. Okay? So the guideline, always look at the inside-out perspective in light of the outside-in perspective. The inside-out perspective is useful only if it is relevant to what is going on outside of the institution. Any questions so far? Okay? You're not just on a helicopter. You're on a satellite. You're seeing things globally. You're seeing your organization in relation to its external environment. Okay? And you, after you go outside in, you go inside and you do the internal analysis. In the GM mindset, we took up the internal analysis, and this is just a review of that thing. So, the summary. What are the big picture? Are you aware of the strategic context of your ministry? Okay? To develop a strategic mindset, you must be aware of the strategic context of your ministry. Here are the questions. What are the big picture factors in the external environment that impact your ministry? How will these factors impact your ministry in the next 5 years? What are the implied strategic actions your ministry should take in light of its external environment? And then you go in. How has your ministry performed versus its long-term goals in the last 5 years and why? What are the SWOTs of your ministry? And what are the top 5 to 10 strategic issues your ministry should address in light of its external environment, its historical performance, and its SWOTs? You need to keep those questions before you, because we're now going to break out into 6 teams, 6 groups. There should, in each group, hopefully there is a laptop. Because what I want each group to do is to analyze the external environment, okay? And what Carlos and his staff have done is to prepare statistics of Victory Metro Manila. Is that correct? Yes. Victory Metro Manila as of December 2011. And you've got data on congregations, number of worship services, small group leaders, average weekend attendance, etc. But actually, you don't need this yet for this breakout. You need this later. In the breakout, I want you and your group to brainstorm to identify the big picture factors in the external environment of Victory Metro Manila, or Victory as a church, or Victory as a movement. Discuss how these factors will impact the ministry favorably or unfavorably in the next 5 years. Okay? And discuss with your group to identify the implied strategic actions that the ministry should take in light of its external environment. Okay? Now, do we have groups? Yes, question. Tricia.
Just let me know if this question, are we supposed to find it out during the workshop or... this can be answered right now. Basing from your example in Del Monte, the big factors, how are there guiding questions that we need to answer to make the big picture factor specific?
Yes. Let me help you now, okay? You have to ask yourself, what's the business of Victory? And we'll do this also this afternoon. But what's our business? Okay? And if that's our business... what's happening in the Philippines that might affect our business positively or negatively? For example, we'll do 5 minutes, right? For example, is the government repressive of religious freedom? Okay? That's a big picture factor. Okay? Are we a restricted country? That's a big picture factor. When you ask about external environment, you have to ask, what is the business of Victory and who is the primary target of Victory? What is the main business of victory? What is, okay, you don't have to go very far. Honor God and? Very good. That's the business. That's the mission. Who is the primary target? 88-year-olds? Who is the primary target? Very good. So, you know what your business is, okay? And you know your primary target. So think, in the Philippines, what are the big picture favorable things? What are the big picture unfavorable things? You look at demographics. Do we have a geriatric population or do we have a young population? Is that favorable or unfavorable? Very good. What is the social environment? Don't we have 10% of our population working as OFWs? Okay, is that a big picture factor? Yes. Why? What is the factor? There are many homes with no mom or no dad or no mom and dad. Is that favorable or unfavorable to our business? Because there's a need. Oh, you see, are you getting it? You're getting it, okay? So these are the big picture factors, okay? Is there anything in our political environment that restricts the movement? Is there anything? Are you not allowed to share the gospel? No. So, is that a big picture favorable factor? Ah, those are examples of big picture. There are not 100 factors, probably five to seven. If you have 28 factors, you know your group is in trouble, okay? I'm talking about big picture factors, okay? You look at it, what's our business? Who's our target? Okay? What are the good things in the environment? What are the bad things in there? Maybe there are no bad things in the environment. On the other hand, there might be. I mean, is the internet pervasive? Yeah. Are young people distracted? Okay. Are schools open? Okay. Sometimes, okay? Et cetera. So, let's do it, because what I want to do is I'm going to choose two or three groups to make a presentation, and in the successive sessions, the other groups will also make presentations, okay? So, any more questions? Okay. Let's go through the agony, and then we'll process. I'll ask you what was the difficulty in doing this, all right? I will give, okay, six. I'll give you 15 minutes. Carlos.
So there's six groups. So the way we're going to do it is. I hope one of these things work. All right, so the six groupings will be these three tables is one group, Babes over there. Babes. So Babes is facilitating this group. Okay. Three groups, these next tables, Miss Karen's facilitating this group over here. Okay, three tables here. Ado is facilitating over there. But we'd like to request Edwin to join this table so that Miss May's group here. Okay, so there's seven also, para there are two male perspectives. And here there's at least two female perspectives there as well. Okay, so, okay. No, that'll be hard. Okay, we only want 5 to 7 and you only have a short amount of time, so. These three tables here in the back, CJ will be in this grouping, and this area will be with me. Okay, so that's the groupings. Every presentation will be given to Giselle, and whichever group gets selected will present 2 to 3, depending on the time we have. Okay, thank you.
Okay, so there are three questions to answer, okay? Three questions to answer. What are the big picture factors that will... in the external environment that impacts your ministry? First question, what are they? Number two, how will they affect the ministry favorably or unfavorably in the next 5 years, in your best judgment? And number three, what should victory do in light of these factors? All right? Okay, go. 15 minutes. I've put some hints on the blackboard. Question number three. What is critical to the success of Victory's business when you think about its environment? And then, what are the big picture factors? when you list down the big picture factors, you need to assess, is this favorable? Is this unfavorable? Is this neutral? Okay, next 5 years, right. Is economic prosperity a favorable factor or unfavorable factor? Identified.
We have six.
So you're digging deep into one of them. How many factors have you identified?
Three.
So I've been at three. The secret is you cannot miss a big factor. Otherwise, like a freight train, hindi mo nakikita. Beware of missing a big factor. Because it's like a freight train coming at you and you don't see it. Do not miss a big factor. Yeah. The first thing to decide is yes, no. Is it unfavorable? Unfavorable or is it favorable? That's the most important thing. You can elaborate later. Yeah. Okay? Don't go too deep into the analysis. By now, you should be asking what should victory do in light of the environment? Okay? Raise your hand if you need an extension. Okay, I will give you 3 more minutes. 9:38 is the deadline. 9:38. Yeah, you don't have to elaborate why it's favorable. The presenter can make that. No, the key is what is the implied strategy? What should victory do in light of the impact? Okay. Laki laptop dito.
Sina-charge na
pa. Minimatay po.
Tapos na kayo sa favorable, unfavorable? Well, just say, you don't have to elaborate why it's unfavorable or unfavorable, but as long as you say it's favorable or unfavorable. And then you got to go into what strategic action should victory take in light of the... Because that's the only time you have left.
Okay.
Okay, time's up. Time's up. Finished or not finished, you are finished. Can I have your attention? How many groups finished all the way to strategy? How many groups? Okay, 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's get a presentation. You guys volunteering?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, whatever you guys got, all right? Okay. Who's the presenter here?
Me.
No. Me?
Okay.
Who is the presenter here? Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You have a flash drive? Ito lang. Pag nakapi mo na, bigay mo yung flash drive sa kanila. Sila naman yung kakapi. Sige. Huwag mo na ipolish. Okay. Wala na, ikaw.
Wala na kaming graphic.
Okay. Presenters, you only have 2 minutes. 2 minutes, all right? Mike, where's the mic? Where's the mic? Ito, pakibigay kaya ano?
Yeah.
Okay, Giselle, ready? Okay, Giselle, ready? Hindi mo kuha? Question.
For the next 5 years.
Hang on.
I'm so excited.
Okay, big hand for Cricket.
Yay!
Cricket, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Go.
Okay. Big picture, social.
That's not the first one.
Okay, big picture. Factors for victory. Metro Manila. Economy. Crisis can bring people to church and provide opportunities for ministry. By 2050, according to CNN, we will be the 16th country with a big economy. And this is because of our young generations. And this young generation actually growing up, 10% of them have no parents who are taking care of them. So that's a big factor. Next, demographic, population. We are predominantly a young generation. The median age is 21 years old, and this provides us a very strong target market, which is who we are in victory. Social, education system. Our education system influences the open door for the campuses. So our life box can come in and actually bring value formation.
If you elaborate, you won't finish.
Oh, sorry. Social media availability and access to different media provides us opportunity to connect and minister. Religious climate. Majority of Filipinos are still Catholics and makes it favorable for us to share the gospel. Strategy. Raise more campus ministers so we could cover all campuses and ministries. 2, maximize the use of various media. And 3, create facilities to implement our strategy, which is why we're building the EN building phase 2. I'm inviting all of you to be involved.
No commercials,
okay?
Please.
Our strategy for the next 5 years. Okay? We have pledge cards at the back. Okay? We have pledge cards at the back. If you have not submitted your pledge card, today is the day.
Next, okay. Are you through?
Yes, because of this facility, we will have opportunity to have classes 24/7 for campus ministers, pastors.
Thank you. Big hand for Cricket. Who's next? Hey, are you guys next?
I know.
Kainin muna. Sige, okay. Okay. Okay,
good morning, everyone. So our group consists mainly of Lifebox staff and finance and one from the local church. So first, we just identified some main factors that we feel would be directly affecting our target audience, which is the young people. That's our victory's business, honor God, make disciples. Ambilis, ha? Young people. And then next, just focus on the arrow. Those are the things that we have, the main factors that we see that will directly affect what we're doing right now. Of course, the political, religious, media. We know how media directly affects, especially our young people right now. Everybody's on Facebook. Technological, of course, with all the gadgets and all the upgrades. Basically, that's just how to promote what we're doing through communications. And of course, our education system, socioeconomic and cultural, our family background. With the religious part, one thing that we have specifically identified is how Catholicism affects our young people right now. And it affects us favorably and unfavorably. Favorably because it's easier to speak about the gospel because they already know about who Jesus is. Unfavorably because of a strong, what do you call this? When you're part of a family, yon, sarado Catholico, that kind of culture. Next, just three main things that or four main things that we have identified to be our strategic actions. And
Hang on. Are those all favorable or unfavorable?
No, we have identified two ways. Like for religious, it can be favorable and unfavorable. Like what I said. For example, what?
Political.
Politically, it's very favorable because
media.
There's freedom. Media, it's also favorable and favorable and unfavorable.
Education.
Almost most of it, there's a two-sided thing to it. Yeah, that's right. All that we can identify. Yeah.
Strategy?
Strategies. Funny thing is that it's just basically the three main strategies that we're doing right now. One thing very specific is capitalizing on media and spreading the gospel, which is what our churches are currently doing right now. Of course, train and equip more leaders and saturating the campuses because of all the freedom that we currently are experiencing. And of course, planting churches. So can you imagine a greater opportunity? Parang MPT presentation lang po ito. Yes.
Thank you. Very good. Big hand for this group. Next.
We will support campus ministry. I am convinced. Anyway, can you just make it a little bigger lang? So we have prioritized three external factors that we think would affect our business in the next 5 years. Number one would be technology. It's different right now. 10 years ago, technology has been different. Right now, it's rapidly changing. Technology information is spread out and faster. So there, it's favorable because it's easier for us to spread truths. Parang favorable yung technology, it works for us, the world gets smaller and smaller. What should we do? We should maximize the use of technology, strategically plan out yung communications. You have to make your presence known in the social medias and internet. Next big picture factor will be the pop culture. Right now, it's unfavorable for us because it has shifted. The culture, the pop culture has shifted. Before, parang you won't be identifying yourself to fall in love with a vampire or a werewolf. Right now, parang it's just, yes, pwede, di ba? Pati tayo, oo nga, pwede. Pero because it's the shift in the culture. So what we should do is to be creative and relevant in sharing the gospel. You have to be current. You have to be updated. Next. Hindi ko na mabasa. Sorry, ah. Government and entertainment business is very open. So I think God has made paved the way for that to happen. And it's favorable to us because these people are very visible. A lot of people know them. Now, what should we do? Strategically reach out to government officials. More and more for this country to change, we should do that.
Very good. Thank you very much. Anyone else wants to do a presentation? We can afford one more. Anyone else ready? No more? Giselle, do we have one more? Who's the presenter? Ado disappeared. Celine, okay. Yeah, sure.
No, I'll just do it from here. It's okay. I can just do it from here.
Okay, big hand for Lynn.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone. We decided to focus on Real Life Foundation just to do something a little bit different. And so, so obviously, the business of Real Life is to serve the poor and help improve their quality of life. And our primary target is high school and university students living below the poverty line. And so some of the key factors that we identified, first socioeconomic factor is that the vast majority of the population of the Philippines is poor. We decided this was unfavorable because even though the economy is growing stronger, the sheer number of poor is actually also increasing, even though you'd think it would decrease because of population growth and other factors. And so unless our programs increase exponentially, unless our funding increases exponentially, there's really no way for us to cope up with the increasing numbers of poor in the Philippines. So our strategic action for this is, first of all, to narrow our focus, because if you try to do everything, you know, orphanages, homes for pregnant teens, and everything like that, you'll be a mile wide and an inch deep. And so our strategy is to focus on high school and university education, because we feel that education is the most effective means of lifting someone out of poverty, because you can feed someone and give them free medical care, but they'll still remain poor. But if you give them a university education, they can lift themselves out of poverty and support themselves and their families. And so the second factor is, as I mentioned, the economic factor, which is that the Philippines as a whole, their economy is growing stronger, and it hasn't been as affected by the global recession. So we saw this as a favorable impact because, first of all, we're able to raise the majority of our funds locally, whereas most NGOs are almost completely dependent on overseas funds. And so as a result, we were not affected by the global recession, whereas many NGOs were. And it allows us to pursue our programs with a good funding base from here. So our strategic action for this is making people more aware, because there's a lot of money in the Philippines, but it's just a matter of tapping into that. So we decided the strategy is educating people and motivating them to be more active in giving and helping the poor. And then the third strategic factor is political. And can I ad lib? We decided that this was largely unfavorable because the government has very few programs for the poor. The majority of the poor are dependent on programs run by churches and NGOs. And so if there's an Ondoy or a Sendong, it's the Red Cross, it's Habitat, it's World Vision, it's all the charities that are actually helping the poor. It's not the government. And then the last one is social and cultural. And this is the poverty mentality, and also just social consciousness. So poverty mentality we saw as unfavorable because a lot of people, even if they have money, if they have a poverty mentality, they're less likely to give it away. And also sometimes people become so used to having poverty around them that they don't see it anymore. And so again, that ties in with our strategic action of educating and motivating people. And then the rising social consciousness, we see that one as a favorable impact because there is a very growing social consciousness in the Philippines, and so people are becoming much more, companies are getting involved in CSR programs, people are much more aware, churches are much more active now in having programs to help the poor, and so that one is, definitely a favorable impact, and again, that ties in with our strategic action to, tap into more of the population base, and especially in the church, because even within the church, there's a lot of people that, are just beginning to have a social consciousness of what the Bible actually says and what Jesus actually said about, helping the poor and, even as you've done to the least of these. And so it really, again, goes back to education and motivating people. Thank you.
Okay. 7 minutes. Let's process. In your experience, what was the difficulty in doing the external environment? What did you have a hard time on, or was it easy?
Resisting the temptation to go in too deep because we are on satellite view. With the temptation to go down to
right.
too low.
Very good. Very good. The default is an inward look. So you tend to go deeper rather than an external environment analysis. You have to really be unthorough in a way. You have to be big picture. Because what you don't want to miss is the big picture. It's like a freight train that's about to hit you, and you don't want to miss that. Okay? And our system, our minds tend to work deeper, and so it's hard, actually very hard, to think big picture. Okay? Yes.
The tendency to focus on the symptoms of the factor rather than the factor itself. Like what you've mentioned, the big train, you'd hear the sound, so you know how it looks like, what are the
symptoms that it reflects, but what is really it, hitting it, as the what factor it is.
Okay, yes, Carlos. Paul.
Just a question. Yeah. What's the difference between getting deeper to the big picture versus getting more specific to the big picture?
In external analysis, you must make sure, this is very important, you must make sure you enumerate all the factors. You cannot miss a big factor because you could miss the whole show. So you have to really, it's like an out-of-body experience. You have to get out from where you are and look at life from a galactic point of view. I mean, you're up there in the sky looking at the whole Earth, and you see how your ministry, you will see its environment. You have to go very high up to see not just the totality of your ministry, but the totality of your ministry plus its environment. Okay? You have to go very far. And that's very, it takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of, it's kind of conflicted, no? It takes a lot of paying attention, which is kind of detailed, to the big things, which is kind of not detailed. Okay? So, here's the principle. If at the strategic level, you miss it by this much, by one millimeter, by the time you execute, you're that far apart. Okay? So you can't miss the big factors because you could get hit by a freight train. Okay? A lot of... Let me ask you more. Okay? What else? What are you finding out about big factors? Big picture factors. Carlos.
I guess for me, because so like we were saying, Catholic culture. But then I kept asking the group, okay, but what of it? What of Catholic culture are we pointing out?
Did your group point it out as favorable or unfavorable?
What we ended up saying was because there's an awareness of the gospel, at least there's a bed, it's favorable in that way. That more it's easier for them to explain it to them, but it was also unfavorable in the sense that there was a indication of a growing of aggression of the bigger institution.
Very good.
So that's where we got stuck because we were actually
maybe the other groups identified it, but you see there is a Catholic awakening. See in the 1970s, and I forget who did the survey. Okay, they concluded. In the 70s, that the Philippines was among very few countries on earth that was ripe for evangelization. The survey went like this. Go to any 10 people in the street and share the gospel with them, 8 out of 10 will respond positively. That is why a lot of movements descended upon our country, you see. Because there was a certain openness. And the urgency of the matter was... How long will the window be open? You see. And you could see, you name it. I mean, mainline Christian movements and quasi-Christian movements. I mean, El Shaddai, JIL. I mean, Victory and GCF and CCF were born within a year of each other. You see. Because there was a window of opportunity. This country is way open to the gospel. However, none of you, okay, identified an emerging, a reawakening of Catholicism. And because, look, you're taking, from a business standpoint, you're taking market share away from the market leader. Now, as long as the market leader is sleeping, you're okay. But once the market leader wakes up, it will throw its defenses, you see. So, on the one hand, it's favorable. Catholics know Jesus. On the other hand, they don't know him quite the way he wants to be known. So, it's favorable and unfavorable at the same time. There is a growing, what I call, inoculation among Catholics of the gospel. You share the gospel with them, oh yeah, I know that. My parish priest told me that, you see. And we are parallel in many things. And you split at rosary, or Mary or, you see. But there has been a tremendous inoculation because the market leader has awoken, you see. So it demands more creativity, yeah.
Which brings me to the question, because I know we don't want to get too deep into the big picture, but I'm trying to remember that from the GM, and I guess, growing facts into
issues.
And I was trying to think, so we're getting richer, but really, what is it? And then we're saying, more Western thought. We're more aware, but what is it? So I don't know if I was going right, because I was thinking already.
You were going right, except that this is an artificial situation. You don't take 15 minutes to do an external analysis.
Because we ran out of time.
That's right. So anyway.